But I was thinking about that versus who do people say we are? You know, that's the way I was just thinking. I was in my devotions, and I was thinking, you know, not just about that, what Jesus said, but what do folks say about us? And so when I thought about that, I said, Lord, well, let me take a look at that as a message and try to put it together and see what you will give me from that, because it is something to think about. Because you see, they didn't know who Jesus was, Sister Boone. They didn't know. Even he asked the questions to his disciples. They didn't know. But let's look at it for some. Some of us know it, but it's always good to look at the word. Am I right about it? Because I can talk about it. And for some of us who know it, you could follow along with me. But how many know it ain't just about us? It's about all of us. We are in this thing together. Huh? One body, one head. Are you with me? You know, there are some things in life that are not important for us to know. Like how many fish is in the sea? Or how many grains of sand are on the beach? You see, my life or eternal destiny does not depend on me knowing those answers. But knowing who I am in Christ is of the utmost importance. We're going to look at Matthew 16, 13 through 20. Okay. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What are they saying about me? Who do they say that I am? What do they think about me? What's going on with all that I'm doing? I know folk are talking about me and trying to figure out who I am. So what are they saying? What kind of conclusions have they come up with about my identity? Who do they say I am?" When Jesus, if I'm going to read off here, brother. Okay, sister. All right. Okay, you went to the next verse? All right. Now go to the next verse. All right. Thank you, sister. So they said, his disciples, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You know, he said, now the word is out that you are one of the prophets, or you are John the Baptist, you're one of those prophets. You know, there's something about you that is spiritual. There's something about you is hooked up with God. So you must be, because you are in the flesh, you must be one of those prophets or whatever like that. That's who you are. We know these to be spiritual people, and so you must be one of those. Next verse. He said to them, "Disciples, but who do you say that I am?" Now you are closer to me. You've been walking with me. Who do you say that I am? You know, when you are close to somebody, you should know more about them. You see, you got some friends that know more about you. If you have some close friends, they'll know a lot about you if they're really close friends, They may know some things that other folk don't know about you because they're not that close to you. Because if you got some close, good friends, they are the ones that you can confide in. You believe you can tell them some things you just can't tell anybody. Am I right about it? Because y'all walk together. So he is saying, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? You know, that's a good question. A lot of our problems that we have, we make them bigger than what they are because we don't know who we are. There are some headaches that we have and we carry with us because if truth be known, you really don't know who you are. But you know what? This is why God has these old crazy preachers and he will give them an assignment to preach his word because he don't even want them guessing. He just wants them just to preach the word of God. And through the knowledge of the word of God, we can learn. You see, the word of God will profit us. It would do a thorough work in and on us. And because you are born again and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, who is the author of the word of God, who wrote the word of God, and he's the one who want to fill you and lead you and control you, what do you think when the Holy Spirit heard you listening to the word of God? He's housed in you, and he heard you listening to the word of God that he was the author of. It wasn't Peter, James, John, or Paul. It was the Holy Ghost. Peter tells us that. Am I right about it? And you got to understand, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, is the author of the word of God, and he lives in you, have taken up residence inside of you. He want to control you by the word of God, so he want a feedback from the word that he have orchestrated, that he have planted in the word of God. He want to hear that coming back through your ears to your heart. He wants to be refreshed with knowing I'm living in a new creature. Oh, my God. And I want that new creature to feed off of what does, say the Lord. But I understand while I'm fighting inside of you, the flesh and the spirit. There's a war going on, huh? Yeah, there's a war going on. When I would do good, he was always present. But there's a tug of war going on because my flesh don't want to walk in the spirit, huh? And my flesh want me to give my flesh the right of way to do what it want to do, when it want to do it. How long it want to do it, to who it want to do it. It just want to do it. Because that's the mindset of my flesh. Not just mine, yours too. There's an independent nature in that old nature. But there's a Holy Ghost when you're born again. You see, that lives in you. Now, he didn't eradicate the old nature. You know that, and I know it. Just push the wrong button. Yeah. You still a Christian? Still born again, but it's not eradicated. But it's something about knowing who you are. Really knowing who you are. So when the word of God is going forth, just because I know who I am, then I listen. See, I know it's for me. Because the way I'm built now, this new me, any man being Christ is a new what? Creation. This new creation, Brother Parker, when I yield to the new me and that word of God is coming, I listen with expectation because it's about me. That's my word. That's the Holy Ghost in me who's the author of that word. So when that word comes, it is welcome inside of this house. But when I don't know who I am and my flesh trying to tell me who I am and pull me away. My attention is not up here. It's all over the place. Part of my attention is following my problems. Part of my attention is following my don't have, want to have, why I don't have, whatever. It's just following anything but the word of God. Because the flesh realized if I don't pull them away, and they continue to feed the new man, they're going to grow. Wait a minute, they're going to grow. See, when you grow, you get stronger. See, it's not just growing, but you'll get stronger in the Spirit of God. And so it's not as easy to trip up someone strong in Jesus as it is for those who are weak. Ye who are strong, you help out now those who are weak. See, God realized there are different levels in the body. He realized, because if he didn't, he wouldn't tell you. See, I realized something. Hey, Thurman hurt his leg the other day, Hebrew. You didn't know that. He'll be limping a little bit. So when you go to get him out of the car, help your brother. Help him. See, you didn't know that. You know, well, what's wrong with Herman? But once I tell you there's something wrong with him, then your antenna shut up because that's your brother. Okay, I got him, Pastor Rick. Thank you for letting me know that. Because I was going to tell him, come on, man. But being that you told me, because you knew something about my brother that I didn't know, but you informed me, you gave me the info that I needed to know so I could change my attitude about helping him. See, the word of God. Oh, my God, want to help us. Oh, my Lord. I tell you, you know, and I slipped on that floor. Everything when it shoot through, you'd be surprised how insulin stuff can shoot through your mind. No, it didn't shoot through my mind to curse. No. Now that didn't. I'm not saying sometimes something like that may happen, but that wasn't what I was talking about. No, that was nowhere. It was like what shot through my mind in that split second, bam, hitting that floor. Because it was wet, and I came back and running, trying to get the coats. Bam. What shot through my mind? Well, all I got to do. That's what shot through my mind. God, I'm on my way trying to get to church. I'm trying to get here. I want to preach your word. You see, I mean, you still give me the okay to do this. And I want to do it. And you got me, I'm on the flow. But how did I know? He said, now I need to slow you down a little bit. Because there may be some danger on that road. And I'm going to delay you just a little bit. So when you get in all that rain, you won't hydroplane as you're going. So slow down. Now I'm walking a little slower on that floor. And I got here. And not only that, I start praying for safety over the dangerous highways and all of that. Amen. Okay, let's go. Let's get back to the word of God now. Okay, that's the next verse. Okay. Simon Peter answered. Now he's a spokesman. He said, you're asking the disciples. He said, but let me speak, Jesus. Let me speak. He says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You're not the son of dead gods. People serve dead gods. I don't know how many thousand dead gods the brother in India was saying that they serve over there, a dead god, but we don't serve a dead god. Our God is alive. He says, Peter says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next verse. I like this. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I want you to know there are some things flesh and blood, humanity, can't reveal to you. See, watch this. Jesus knows there's some things flesh and blood can reveal to you. But he also knows there are some things flesh and blood cannot reveal to you. It has to come through the Holy Spirit. He says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but, wow. See, the thing about Jesus, not only do he know who didn't reveal this to Peter, but he also know who did. Huh? He says, look here, but my Father who is in heaven. Go ahead. My Father who is in heaven revealed this. You know, there are some times that God will reveal things to you and me that may seem strange. It may even go against your grain, go against my grain. But God has a plan. He has a purpose, and we are his people. So therefore, he will reveal some things, even some things sometimes you don't want to do, but he will reveal them to you. Let me tell you something. If God is revealing that to you, and you know that that's the Lord, obey the Lord. If God is speaking to you, obey the word of God. No matter what I tell you, no matter what your neighbor tell you, no matter what you tell you, you obey the word of God. Okay? If God is speaking to you, you do what God is saying. Okay? Now that don't mean because you do what God will have you to do, you will not be a martyr. Look at all those brothers, Paul and Peter. All right? And I'm not saying that you may have to go that far, but I'm saying just because it may seem a little rough, that don't mean that God didn't tell you to do that. Okay? It may seem to be something that you don't get a lot of praise, but God told you to do that. It may be something that you would say, well, God, I think if I do it this way, it'd be a whole lot better. But Lord elect, you are taking me the long road around. Huh? Yeah, God says, I'm taking you the long road around because I want you to be consistent. There's some things you're going to learn on that road. And when you are strengthened by all that you are learning, you'll stick to it. You'll be all I want you to be. And you will be a blessing to me. You know, we got to keep in mind when we're God's children that the blessings is all about God. So he says that, he said, Jesus answered and said to him, he says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. For some reason, at this particular time, God the Father decided to let the cat out of the bag and say, Peter, this is who he is. He asked the question, I'm going to give the answer. What we have to understand, too, during this time, Jesus didn't want to be exposed as the Messiah. For this reason, Jesus knew that the Jews wanted him to be some political or national leader to take them from under the Romans' rule. And they were looking for someone to save them from hardships. You see, from that situation. But Jesus knew that he had some other things to put in place. He had some other preparations to put in place. He didn't need no hindrance from a crowd that want to just follow him because they think that he came to be their king. He came to let the Romans know our king is here. But he came to save our souls. He came at this period and this time to save our souls. Now read. Let's go on to the next verse. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Next verse. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. The next verse. Then commanded his disciples that they should tell, there it is right here, no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Don't tell this. You got it right, but don't tell it. Wow, ain't that something? Something you get right, and a lot of times we get so much wrong. But the teacher say, you got this right. You so happy. And they said, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody because the teacher got another plan in the class that you may got this ahead of the class. You know, you may figure this thing out. Could be a math problem or something like that. And she was just asking you and over there with you. She said, but because it was a real hard one that she came up with. And she said, but don't you tell anybody. I'm going to see. Is there anybody else in the class that can you know, I got some plans for the rest of the people, so don't tell it. Can you imagine having all of that and you can't tell it that the Messiah is here? He said, but don't tell it because I got some things to do in my preparation to going to the cross. Luke, can you put Luke 2:11 up for me? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Even back then, at the birth in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's look at John 4:42 for me, and then 1 John 4:14 when you... Okay, you on the ball. Wow. Who's that? Vicky Vic. Appreciate you. I like that. Steve ain't here. You jump. I like that girl. All right. You help me. You see I'm getting old. I'm doing this for a minute now. All right. Then they said to the woman, now we believe. Not because, watch this. This, you know, the lady at the well. Y'all remember that? Okay. And she went back and told everybody. But look at this. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said about him. Come see a man. For we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ. Watch this now. This is very important. The Savior of the world. I want to show you something right here. He's the Savior of what? That means everybody that's going to get saved in his world that he built got to be saved by and through Jesus Christ. Everybody, Lottie and Dottie, of the whole world. Now, when you go back to John 3:16, what do that say? Come on, help me out with that. Love the what? There it is. The world, not just one slice, one place in the world. The whole thing. See, let me tell you something. That's why we don't mess with no other religion. And that's why I always tell people, you ain't got to know all the tenets of that religion. All you need to know is one thing, what they say about Jesus Christ. Watch this. One of the things I know you're not going to say is just what I just gave you. Let me help y'all out. Let Pastor teach a little bit. One thing they're not going to say, hang with Pastor, if you're looking for some apologetics in the Word of God and some scriptures when you're defending the faith. And you need to be able to do it if you're a child of God. It ain't okay for you to say, I'm saved, I go to church, and you don't know nothing about who you call Savior. You don't even. That's why I had to give off that flow today and come to church. But watch this. They're not going to say that. Christ. Don't get mad with me, Frida. Savior of the. No, they'll tell you, that's your opinion. See, I got my God's a little different from your God. Christ is okay, but he ain't all that. Keep walking if they say that. Christ is not just okay. He's more than okay, and he's more than that. There is no greater salvation. Matter of fact, there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. His purpose was to come and to save the whole world. So you got to ask those people, those cults and occults, are you in the world? You got to be here because I'm talking to you. I'm in the world. Well, if you're in the world, he came to save all that's in the world. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, okay, what I suppose to not believe this? See, here's the thing now. When you are talking in debate with these people, if they tell you they don't believe that, you're also telling me stop believing this. Well, see, we got a conflict. Watch this now, Brother Hebrew. You don't believe it because we got some older religions, a little bit older than what yours is. But you heard it all the time. Let's go back and look in history. All right, when you go back, wait. Before you go back to Genesis. Go back to the first man, the first woman. That's where mine came from, right there, the seed of a woman. Now, can you go back further than that? If you go back further than that, there's another Adam and somebody else you got going on, because Adam and Eve, my Bible tell me they were the first, and they sinned against God, huh? And then God said, but you're going to be saved through the seed of a woman. And the seed is of a man, so that got to be a miracle birth. Hey, the virgin found herself with child. That's the miracle. Come on, somebody. The whole world. Say it for me, Tracy. I can't sing it. The whole world. Lottie and Dottie. I may be Lottie, you Dottie. So the whole world, he saved. Well, I don't believe that. Bye. See, because if you don't, and you're trying to persuade me, And I started saying, you know, once I crack, well, you know, it could be another. I don't want to be so dogmatic. Now, there's some things I tell you, brother, don't be so dogmatic with that. But not with that. Not when it comes to salvation. I don't allow nobody to play with that. I don't play with it. You know, some other thing we can disagree, some gray areas. And hey, let's not, you know, no, something we don't really know. But this one, God made this one simple. Only one way to be saved. One. But then, but when you see it, like this, Sister Boone, the whole world. See, I try to give you other things to use. You know, you got Acts over there and all that. But I can use this. I can use a whole lot of things for apologetics. And that's how I got the Herbert W. Armstrong guy. I didn't use the same scripture everybody used because he was ready for that. I took in the sun. He never heard it used. He saw it, but it was used in this context, this context and contents. You know, but I showed him in the context, and the context, it spreads. That God said, I got a mechanism. I'll kill you before I judge you with the world. I said, you read it and do your word study like you were doing everything else and tell me what you get. He says, there is something I got in place, because if I don't have it in place and you call yourself saved and you just do whatever you want to do, he said, look here, I'll take you home early that I wouldn't have to judge you with the world. See, that's a world judgment. But God have told me I'm in the world. He didn't isolate me in the world. John 17. But he insulated me in the world. Because I'm not longer of it. I'm of him. That's why I want to know. Christ asked the question, who do they say I am? Who do you say you are? That's what I want to know. Do you really know who you are? Can you stand flat-footed? You know, it's one thing that folk not interested in the preaching and teaching. I try to teach. And we see the undertaker. It's all in my neighborhood. My neighbor went home to be glory. So many folk that I know in the last 3 or 4 months, and I knew all of them, and they were males. They're all dead and gone. We know this is happening. And we set up when something like this is preached as if we ain't got to get in that box. Somebody ain't got to call JT. We just play. Children die. It ain't just old for where he old enough, he gonna die. Yeah, no, children. There's a lot of fools out here shooting up schools. Saw the man on the news in the neighborhood. He smacked the boy 6 and the boy 9. Daddy came out the house. He said he was going to floor him and beat him in the street. And the man pulled out a gun on him. And everybody backed up. He told the kids to run. Danger's all around us. You can't do nothing about the danger around you, but you can prepare yourself if it comes. See, if it come and Brother Ricks, you say, he ain't preaching this Sunday. No, I got word, Brother Ricks gone. You know, he always say, you'll miss me when I'm gone. You know, I'm beginning to miss that old guy. Because even when I didn't want to hear and I turned my back, get on my telephone, don't hear everything but Jesus. He came to say the whole world, but I ain't included. Oh, my God. It breaks my heart. I got to still do it when folk ignore the preacher. You ignore it. I got to keep doing that. My flesh don't, though. My flesh won't say, they don't care, I don't care. How about us not caring together? How about that? You do it, I do it. Huh? That's right, ain't it? That's flesh. But God said, walk in the spirit. You won't fulfill the desires of your flesh. The flesh may have some desires, but don't you give way to the cravings of the flesh because you're walking in the spirit. Let me move on. Move on, Ricks. You know your assignment, Ricks. Won't nobody there when God called you. And you know how you were. You were overcome that day he called you, that night he called you and showed you things in your neighborhood and showed you things in Tower Mall and how he brought took you from one spot and brought you back to another spot and how the Lord just hid you and say, man, I want to use you. And you were scared to death. Oh, I got so many stories that's been untold about this Jesus. So I'm not guessing when I tell you about this. And I try to give you a reference. When I give you the reference by giving you the address, the scripture, that means you can go home and get deeper. Okay? Because we can't do it here, but you can get deeper. But I want you to know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the what? Of the world. So now, if he's the Savior of the world, since he's the Savior of the world, I'm not to look for another. You see what I mean, Sister Eileen? Why am I looking for another, listening to another? Well, I think we need to listen to their God when they come, because you know we want them to listen to us. Okay, Sister Maggie, go on, listen to them. And by the way, buy one of their tracks and whatever. Yeah, because you know, Pastor, we got to be nice to them. Yeah, tell them that he's the Savior of the whole world. He's the Savior of the whole world. Well, I know that, but let me explain this to you, Pastor. He's the Savior of the whole world. By the way, you're still talking on my porch, and you want to show me something. I said he's the Savior of Lottie and Dottie. Where are you? Are you Dottie or Lottie? Which one are you? He's the Savior of the whole world. First of all, before you're going to take me to where you want to go, you want to take me anyway. Do you believe that? No, I need to know. Do you believe that? See, I got you now in a catch 22 because I asked you, do you believe it? Now, if you tell me, yeah, and you want to show me something different, you really don't believe it. You really don't believe it. See, you can agree with me. So if you're going to open up your book right here on my porch, you're going to show me, too, he's the Savior of the whole world. Is that what you're going to show me? Now, I got some other things. Okay, you got some other things to show me about my salvation that, because my salvation is a free gift. Mercy, grace. I can't even boast that I work for it, lest any man should boast. What else you got to show me? I got some works. I got some work. Let me tell you something. I can't do it. First of all, can you tell me how much works? No, you can't. Can you tell me if I do the 99 and a half? That's real good, but I missed out on a half. Now, by the way, when you give me all that you got to offer, even those riding around with the black pants and white shirts on the bicycles, when you come and you give me all of this, tell me there's another Jesus. Were you there? What did your book say about when he asked the disciples the question, who am I? Did you hear from the pages of scriptures the answer? Did you hear it? What are you trying to say? What are you trying to offer me that's better than Jesus? Who is he? Who is she? You see, when they say it, he was John the Baptist. I testify John the Baptist was a great man. Loved the Lord, a forerunner. But John the Baptist, being a forerunner, he laid the carpet out for the Jesus. He looked for him. Jeremiah, the reaping prophet, signed to preach the word of God and got frustrated with folk not believing and said, I ain't going to do it no more. But what he placed in me in the assignment as a prophet, the word of God, it began to burn like fire shut up in my bone. I had to tell it whether you want to hear it or not. But it still ain't Jesus. One of the other prophets. Is this one of your prophets who made this doctrine you guys are peddling? Did he die? Did she die? Where did it come from? Were they before Jesus? Where does offshoot come from? See, Jesus didn't need no help saving the world. See, his cross on Calvary's hill was in the middle. Now he can save on this side. He can save on that side. He can save all around. But you notice the man on one side said, don't you forget me. I believe now. When you come, King, into your kingdom. See, I believe you, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, because you wouldn't have a kingdom. So when you come into that kingdom, don't forget me. And see, my Savior, the other one, if you all that, you the Savior, save me. Get me off this cross so I can root, toot, and shoot again. But he didn't save. He didn't come to save from your misery, your hardship. He came to save your soul. You about to know him. You about to start feeling good about him. Because sometimes your body don't feel good. Sometimes your situation is not like you want it. Sometimes your money is funny. Huh? A lot of different things going on in our lives. There are some things going on with some people that's supposed to be here that's not here. Going on in your life. But the best thing that's going on in our lives is Jesus. Matter of fact, my life is here in Jesus. Oh my God. Do we know how good he is? You talk about Jesus, but do you know him? Oh, let me move on. Did you okay? Which scripture was that you gave me? All right, let me have first John 4:14. I'm sorry. We didn't have that one, did we? Okay. There it is again. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the whole world. Wait a minute. The Father. Jehovah, the Father. You see, the Son's supposed to be subordinate to the Father. Huh? You can peddle that, but let me tell you something. He was only subordinate in position, not essence. He became the Son of Man. He never stopped in essence. See, he never stopped being God. Though he became the Son of Man. See, he didn't become God. No, Hebrew. Thank you. One man got it. He didn't become God, y'all. He became flesh and blood. He became man, but he didn't become God. He always, see, when you look at John 1, that goes back further, Brother Newby, than Genesis 1. Oh, yeah. See, John 1 has always been. All right. And if John 1 won't dare, Genesis 1 could have never happened. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Anybody with me in the house? Huh? Because in the beginning, God created. That means he had to be there before his creation. So what you gonna bring me when it's God in flesh reconciling the world back into himself? I'm trying to let you know what's going on inside of you, and this ain't just no church thing. See, when people take the church as just a church, I go if I want to, don't go if I don't want to, and if other things in life are so important. You're trying to get all that other stuff, and God said, I got you on the clock. I was going to give you some extra time to live, but I'm going to take you out of here before you get 30. Because you're not giving me anything. See, one of the things we do, we say, well, God can take second, third, and fourth place because he know I'm busy. Where you get that from? Give me scripture and chapter on him taking second, third, fourth place in the Christian life. He must have the preeminence. See, our flesh tell us that. See, our flesh tell us that we can keep doing wrong. And we keep throwing him on the back burner. You know, the flesh will tell us that. God understand you don't want to serve him. That's what he understand. He understands you ain't got time for him. He understand that. Yet all the time you get comes from him. Isn't that strange? I don't have time to give him an hour or two worship, then that get too long. Well, that's allowed to be all he get from you. All right. I gotta come on off now. Y'all have been good. But have I made any sense? Okay, now let's go over to, okay. I just want to see the whole world. So if I show you the whole world, now you ain't got to listen to nobody else. Because if you listen to somebody else, you believe there's part of the world that he don't save or he don't have the power to save. Right? Okay, all right. So if you got Jesus, you got it all. Okay, let us go to First John 3 so we can come on off. Y'all been very good. You know, it amazed me. Whew. Y'all some good folk. Oh, Jesus, where did I tell you to go? Okay, all right. Thank you, sister. Watch this, y'all. Behold, let's stop right now, underline that. When you see behold, that's an attention getter. That is an attention getter. That is trying to get your attention before we go on. So I don't want to rush past that. I want you to behold. Behold. Okay? That is trying to get your attention. Or see, that is trying to get your attention. Okay? It's letting you know that something marvelous is coming behind the behold. Danny, wow, behold, Danny. That means... You want to stop and give your attention to it. Because you about to see something. You about to see something. Look at here. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. What type of love is this that the Father in heaven, who identified his Son as Christ to Peter and his disciples, that Father, what kind of love is he lavishing on you and me? Now, I come to worship him and been coming for close to 40 years. You know, when I got saved, I never stopped because I begin to realize a little bit of that lavish love for Rick's. You know what I mean? And so I continue on year after year after year because I'm moving in that lavish love. See, I can't say I'm not loved by nobody because I am loved by the best. Huh? Don't get in your pity party and go overboard, Christian. And ain't nobody love me. Ah! You need to listen to this. Don't go out here and try to commit suicide because you figure you ain't loved. You love by the best. He lavished your love. Behold, see, if you won't be a whole, you may fall in all kind of the devil's trap. The devil want to steal, kill, and destroy you. I want you to close your ear gate from the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If that ear gate is not open to the word of God, that it goes down to your heart gate and that you believe, you're going to still be left in a devil's world, the Luigi, the prince of the power of the air. But our assignment is to preach that word of God. It's to sound out, to herald out. Behold. Now let's get into what's behind this. What manner? What kind? How deep is this love? How great is this love? I don't even love myself. Now, what kind of love he got? Oh, this is a different type of love. Well, will he love me when I do bad? Yes. Will he love me when nobody else loves me? Yes. If I don't come up to his standard, do he love me? Yes. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Didn't stop being a sinner. While I was still doing my thing, he died for me. Ah, what manner, what kind. Somebody, do you know what a kind of kind is it? That ain't how the world love. You can do good to them, they still hate you. The world do their thing. But behold, take a look at this. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. It's on you, Joan. Sister, it's on you. It's on you, Tracy. Don't let your flesh say it ain't there. It's on you. He lavishes on you. You know, every now and then, when the world treats you so bad or you're going through something and it makes you so sad, you got to move your attention off of what you're going through and put it on the lavish love. Sometimes, even in your pain, you got to look away from the pain and look at your gain of what manner of love. It's the highest. It's the highest manner. The kind it is, don't come no higher. And look what it says on us. See, Janet, you got that love and I got it. You see the plurality of that? And not just me, you got it too. You born again. How he took care of you and them children through them hard times. Huh? And the things that you had to do and stretch your money out and things like that with your children. You did what you had to do, but God was there all the time. And he said, but one day, I'm going to bless her mightily. Huh? But just keep trusting me. Keep up shouting every now and then and praising my name. Because you can say, that's why you do it. Because the manner of love, sister. And when I think about it, see, a lot of times you see me, I ain't thinking about it. That's why you see me nonchalant. I ain't really thinking about it, Shepard. But you catch me. You catch me when I've been down, when I've been beaten. And all of a sudden, there's some encouragement coming to me. I'm looking away, Danny. And I'm looking up. I'm setting my affection on things above. Where Christ sat on the right hand of the Father. And I'm seeing this type of love. That we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. You see, the world think you crazy. They're going to go out there in the rain. I don't like to go in the sunshine. And talking about going to church. What's wrong with them? Well, you don't know me. See, because if you know me as a Christian, as being God's child, and you know the Lord too, you would say, I know why they do that. Amen. They're not fair-weather Christians. They're not just Christian today and saying that's tomorrow. They're consistent. Not perfect, but consistent. And we're consistent, not because of who I made me. See, I like this, Danny. I can't say, well, Danny, I made myself a preacher, and I made this, and I did that. No, it was the lavish love. It was the type of love that made me. See, I'm legally his child. See, when you are an heir, when you have been adopted, talk to me, brother. Are you legal? Am I right, bro? We've been adopted legal. Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Legal. That's the kind of love that made me legal. Oh. Ooh. I ain't guessing about who I am. Who do people say? Who do you say you are? Well, I'm just a wore out creation, and I don't, sometimes I think the world is right. I know why they hand all the fine. They're not legally his. See, he's responsible for me. I'm not my own anymore. If he didn't want me, he shouldn't have paid the price. He bought and paid for me with his blood. With the blood. And he loved me when I didn't love myself. Explain to me that kind of love. You know, a lot of people want to love you when you come up to their standards. You know, I'm going to start loving you when you can get yourself together. You no good, this and that. You know, you just get on my last nerve. You get yourself together, I can start loving you. Well, we've been in trouble. The world would be in trouble. We were yet sinners. Still doing our thing. He died for us. Who do they say you are? That was my thing. I dealt a little bit with Christ when he asked Peter, his disciples. But I really wanted to talk about, but that's why I put this on the back end. See, this is who we are right here. It says, behold, what manner the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Now, a lot of times the world is telling you who you are. You got to realize they don't know who you are. So you don't have to say, but you didn't know they didn't know who you are. But you came to church today. And see, either God is telling the truth or the world is telling the truth. You can't believe both. God said they don't know who you are. See, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, you may know me when, but do you know me now? Huh? See, when you knew me when, God came along. And he took me from the when to the now. And in the now, he changed my name. I'm his child. I belong to him. So that is a blessing. Go to the next one. I'm coming on off. Just go right on. You got the next verse for me? Okay. Beloved, now we are what? Children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Whoa, you got something else for us? Whoa, that's some terrible love. It just keep on giving. Shall be. So I mean, even when I die, you got something. Yeah. That love just keep giving, even into eternity. Yeah, we can give you eternal life. What we shall be, but we know. Say, I know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Wow. We're going to see Jesus as he is. Okay. All right, next verse. And everyone who has this hope, say, I got this hope, according to the word of God. And everyone who has this hope in him or her purifies himself or herself just as he is pure. Four. You got four? Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. But I am so glad that God saved me while I was yet sinning. He saved my soul. He made me a new creation, and I am so thankful for his love and his kindness. And every now and then, I got to think about, behold, what manner of love. You do something wrong, think about his love. When folks stop loving you because you're not doing what they want you to do, realize if you have received Christ as your Savior, he has a different type of love. That don't mean he won't chastise you. That don't mean he won't take you to the woodshed. Okay? He will take you to the woodshed because you are his. Am I right about it? Hebrews chapter 12, read it. 1 Corinthians, our communion chapter, read it. He will take you to the woodshed because you are his, but he loves you. He loves you. He loved me. You know, I asked the question, who do they say you are? Today is the world. They may say a whole lot of things about you and who you are and not even knowing you. You may not even know yourself as you should. But I tell you, it's so much. I mean, you just can't exalt. It's the word of God, that Bible. It's just so much. You could just sit on one point. It's just so much. But I hope